Good afternoon, Kev Hackney.
Afternoon, Joe. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm recovering. I've been a bit ill, but I'm recovering. I'm getting there at the moment, so I'm quite chuffed.
Okay. Right. Well, what can we say about you? You are a poet, yes?
I enjoy writing. I've always loved writing, but I haven't. I didn't start this till I was 58. To be quite frank with you, and quite surprised how many people have sung my songs. It's very flattering.
Wow. Now, I wasn't going to mention songs this early, but you've done it, so we're going to hear some of your songs in a bit. But let's go back to the poems. When did you start writing?
I did a poem at school, and it got published, but from my background, I never told any of the family. They would have thought there was something with me writing poetry. They were all land workers, building workers, you know, very, very, very different here. Then this teacher took a shine to it, and the great thing was I found a report at my mum's house. My mum moved into a nursing home, and it's from when I was at Westgate School, and they did a thing on what they thought the child would be doing when they leave school, and they put me down as writer, which was beautiful. My mum couldn't understand it, but yeah, it was really flattering. But
so
I never really got on with it.
Obviously, you didn't consider yourself a writer at that stage.
I probably still don't, to be honest with you. I find it relaxing. I find it, if you've got a problem and you can put it in words, put it on a piece of paper, it's problem's gone, really. Every day, we try, myself and my lady Anne, we try and make every day a new day. Do you know what I mean? There's no going back, no thinking about yesterday, what went wrong or anything like that. Always forward, that's our motto. But it's flattering when you hear your song and somebody's singing it. It's like really, really flattering. And I'm on a site called Jesse's Songwriting, and the people on there, the standard is so high. You've got to keep the standard up. And I've learned a lot, and I learn every day. I listen. I like stories that other people miss that I find. I think tragedy is the best. I think if there's a death, you write better. I think most poets and writers agree with that. It sort of spurs you into a mournful way of thinking, and you get a different feeling when you're writing. But I also do the comedy ones, which I played on Sarah Radio, and they asked me to not play six of them.
When you say you get a feeling when you're writing, can you tell me about that?
It's the words seem to flow pretty straight. You can get the first line, but it's the subject matter. I wrote a song when I don't know whether you know this story, Joe. There was a couple in Dublin, really, really strange. The guy was, I think, 80-ish, and the lady was around that age. And the lady died at 8:45 in the evening, and he passed away at 9:00. And you have to think, is that true love? Is that grief? What is it that a guy dies within 1/4 hour of his wife? And I wrote a song about it called Wherever You Go. And it started again as a poem, and then somebody put some music to it. And Wherever You Go, and it's about when she leaves, the angels come for him. And then a guy sent me a song, and he'd written almost the same song about the same people. It was like, it's really strange. It's picking up on things that that you're bothered about, you know, homelessness, things like that. People sleeping on the streets. It's 2023, you know, and the people, and there's people haven't got water to drink, and it's 2023. What are we doing?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's kind of a way to voice your thoughts about things that you don't perhaps tend to talk about, do you think?
Yeah, you keep them inside. But you can make, I think Bob Dylan proved that, but you can make a good protest with a song without being too unsubtle, do you know what I mean? You can get the message across without being brutal. You know, we're on a planet, and it's like the only reason we've got kingdoms and we've got this patriotism is because years ago kings wanted more land, the church wanted more land. You know, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, you know, we're all one place, really. And I don't get the borders because that causes conflict. It'd be great to have a world where there's no conflict. You know, where an old lady could walk down the street at 2 o'clock in the morning and the only thing that happens is somebody comes out of her house and helps her. I think that's how the world should be thought of. I think we've just got it so wrong. We've got it so wrong.
Do you think music can help put that right?
I do. I think people listen to words. I think you can live by a set of rules and you can you listen to the music that are on them. I don't discount any music. I don't discount rap and I don't discount rock or anything like that. The message is always there. There's always a good message there. Rap singers are clever. They're cleverer than me because they write and say more words in 30 seconds than I put in 10 songs. You've got to embrace the new. That's why I love Lincoln. The uni, the different colours and creeds coming into Lincoln. The music scene has taken off. We've got everybody. There are beautiful people from Brazil, Africa coming in university, and they stand up on open mics, and you stand agape at how good they are. Absolutely exceptional. I like to get messages across. I've had some hard songs to write. I wrote for a little boy who had it was a tumour, but it was maybe two countries could treat it if we raised enough money. And when I say we, I was very, very small in this thing. I just wrote the song for it and such like. But they raised like £350,000 out of Newark. And the poor little lad lost his life. He died. And it was, we cried right now. He was a lovely, lovely little lad. And they asked me to write the song for the for the funeral, for the wake, and it was like, that's the hardest thing I've ever written in my life.
Yeah.
But it's it got a good reception, and it was, you felt like you'd said something. It was all about, I couldn't write about the little lad. I couldn't do it. I was going to do a superhero thing and stuff like that, but I couldn't do it. And then I realised, because I've got kids and I adopt kids and God knows how many kids I've got and grandkids.
That's not a good way to be. You don't know how many kids you've got.
No, we adopt and our kids adopt. And, you know, it's Thursday. Oh, sorry. It's today. And, you know, one of the lads is gone for a little boy at the moment trying to get him adopted. So, no, it's hard to keep up. It's what we do. It's like homeless people. We bring them in the house, feed them, get them a job. We do what we can do. We can't do it all the time because we have a business to run. But, we're all responsible, aren't we, for other people?
Well, I think there are people that might disagree with that, but let's leave that there for a minute.
Yeah.
Hear your first song now. We're going to hear Jericho.
I love
a bit
it.
About that.
Yeah, I've had three occasions where I heard Paul O'Brien, who's singing it for us. I heard Paul on a site on Facebook, and I just assumed this guy was a superstar. You've heard his voice. He's unbelievable. I write the words, and he gets them in 2 seconds. He understands what I'm writing about in 2 seconds. And he's so surprised. He's only just started, Paul. This is the big... I thought he'd been around years. He's just started. He did his first live gig the other day on the internet.
Yeah.
And he was shaking like a leaf. And he's a beautiful singer. And his interpretation of the songs that I've written for him is... They're unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. It makes the ears on the back of my neck tickle. I think he's a beautiful singer. Beautiful singer.
Do you specifically even write for people then?
No, I've got I retire this year, and I've been offered a chance to write professionally. And obviously I've been ill, and it's looking like a choice now. But up to this point, what I've said is, I write the songs, I'm not bothered about copyright, I'm not bothered about this, or I write it as a poem and other people turn it into songs. If you like it and you want to record it, please record it. There's no cost, no charge. It's beautiful. When you get a CD through your door and one of your songs is on it,
yeah.
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. You just think, Aaron, my biggest fans are my grandkids, who are like, they come to concerts with me and hold my guitar and say, that's my my granddad, which is pretty unusual for little ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're quite proud, I think, of what we do.
Okay, but, we're going to hear Jericho now.
Okay, lovely, thank you. Yeah, I got, when I played on Siren, I got Kai, did you know?
No.
Yeah. I sang a song about my kids, going, well, my kids are ugly, and Kai fell to pieces.
Was he empathising, do you think? Feeling you, the words of your song?
Yeah, the comedy ones are hard to play. It's usually a 2 o'clock in the morning job. But I enjoy writing and singing, and I wrote the theme for Pride about my friend Ashley Hill. He's a drag queen. When he's Ashley Hill, he's the most lovely man in the world. He's a very polite, sensitive guy, really, really nice. However, when he puts the frock and the wig on and becomes Velma Vile, he's a psychopath. And
the name suggests. He is, as the name suggests, and he's vile, is he? She.
Velma, yeah. Velma insulted me once because I had this jumper on in the crowd of Pride because of my grandkids made me wear it. It was horrible. So he took the mickey. And then 2 years later, unfortunately for him, I was asked to write the theme song for Pride. So I wrote one called Velma Vile, homage to a drag queen. You couldn't play it on air.
No.
But enjoyed it. And then unfortunately, to my surprise, he turned up on stage next to me in the drag outfit. And yeah, great fun. Great fun. I love the music scene in Lincoln.
It sounds fabulous. I'm almost envious, I think.
Get up and do it, Joe. Get up and do it. I'll tell you how I started, really. I went to the first ever open mic. I'd played in the house, sort of, not very well. Wasn't very good on the guitar. Didn't get the singing right. I didn't understand about keys and things. And then I went to the Lion and Snake to a thing called Acoustic Corner. And the first four people I saw were such a high standard. It blew my head off, and I was like, I'm not playing. But I got my guitar, and he said, oh, will you play it? So I played. You knew if you were any good, because you'd get six songs. If you were average, you'd get three or something like that. And for the first 2 weeks, I played songs by Elvis, by the Eagles, and things like that. And I'm obviously not in their class. And it was like three songs. And on the third, my lady said, why don't you sing one of yours, which I would never have dreamt of. And I sang Drinking Man, which was Kyle's song of the year. I think he got it down when he left the station. And I played Drinking Man, and everybody stood up and applauded. And this guy just came up and said, have you got any more of those? I said, well, I've got a few. And I started singing. And it was like, then I was getting 10 songs, you know, instead of three. And it was like, and I realised that's the way to go, right? I've got a sad story for you if you want it, Joe.
Is it going to make me cry?
No, it's not that sad. It's a terrible story, but it's, I find it, when I was at school at Mount Street, I'm 5 foot two, I was really small at school, but there's a girl there that was smaller than me, and she had dwarfism, and she was my mate, she was funny as anything, and she once asked me to lock this door on this cupboard, because she couldn't read, and I locked it, and we locked a teacher in for the weekend. That's what she was like. But
sounds really good.
I wrote this poem and I put it on Facebook, and she came on and said, Kevin, who wrote the poem? It's beautiful. I said, oh, I did. And she said, no, you didn't. You can't have written that. And I was like, yeah, I did. And because remember, I was a single dad 11 years. I had plenty of time to get educated, learn things, watch, learn. So I came out a different person after that. And she said, but he can't have wrote that. And I said, well, give me 5 words. And she gave me 5 words. And I wrote a song about this bird that was dying over the ocean. He was trying to find a pleasant place to die. Mm. And I sent it back to her in 4 minutes. And she was like, I can't believe you've done that. And she was really, very flattering about it and everything else. And I trust her implicitly. So I knew I'd got something going. And then later on, she phoned me up and told me off and said, we've had a poetry competition going for 2 years, and we've all put our poems in. She said, said, you wrote that in 4 minutes. I thought I'd put yours in to see what happened. She said, you've just won it. I was like, what? Yeah, mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing.
I thought you said it was a sad story. That's not sad. That's really happy.
It's sad for her because it took her 6 months to write hers and I did it in 4 minutes. But it just came to me. I haven't ever had writer's block yet. But I like it when I get an email and say, can you write a song about this for me? I like that. I like other people's words, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then put them and get them together and then send them off. And the response you get back, so I've never had a bad response. And some people are just so nice. And I have a guy in America, I sing for a band called The Nearer Project. And they are, they've been established, God, 20-odd years. And they, out of the blue, they asked me if I would come and sing on their album. And I was quite surprised. I was flattered. But I've sung on a few albums. I think I've got a gruffy voice. I think they like that. I think they like it. So I sang for that. And this year, the main writer's left, Rob Bacon. And I'm writing the album. We've done two albums, Everflowing Stream. But this one I'm writing with Steve Cowan, which is very flattering. Steve's a well-known writer.
Yeah.
Very good. So I'm writing on that. And some of the songs that Rob Bacon has written are like, you cannot believe the guy's not famous. I think the problem they've got in Lincoln is distribution. Nobody knows how to promote a record. We've now got Rupert Everson on the scene. Rupert's doing a good job with Yellow Belly Records. I've just done one for Rupert. He's starting the ball rolling, as you did, as Sound Radio did, having people on there live for an hour. That was massive. The people that were on there got, they did really well out of it, and I think Sound did as well. That should be brought back, really, Joe. I think that's a great thing. People coming up from Lincoln. Because we haven't got what London's got. We haven't got that big network. We've got a little network. And I'm fascinated by it. I have a page on Facebook, Kev Acne's Music. Mm-hmm. And it was for people who've written and then left it in a drawer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've had people who got one called Alone. And it was written by Natasha Jade. And she sent me, I couldn't believe how good it was. You know, there's so many great people out there who are a little bit shy, hold back with their songs, just put them out there. Just put the words on, somebody will pick them up. That's all that's happened with me.
Yeah.
People pick them up and send them back. And it's a good thing. I have a thing in America with a guy called Jim Ebert. I sing on his songs. And Jim's quite famous in America, and he's got a massive branch, free recording studios, the video studio. So what I do is I sing on his songs for him.
Yeah.
And if I've got a song that I want video and producing, he does that. That's what we do. It doesn't cost anything. It's a good system. It's a good way to work.
It sounds like you've been quite lucky. Would you agree?
Yeah, lucky, yeah. The right people listening. I've been on the right size.
Yeah.
Some of these people just—they blow your mind, Joe. The songs they come out with. There's a guy called Jim Kelly, and Jim writes. God, he must write 3 songs a day, and he's so laid. He's my bath time. He's my laid back in the bath. So laid back, and they're just stories. They're absolutely brilliant. You could pick me poems or songs.
Yeah.
We've got an abundance of talent in Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's great, and thank you very much for promoting it because it needs it. And some of the young kids, some of these lads are. I had a lad of 15 ask me to write a love song for it.
Oh,
it was like, I was like at 15 and it was like, I had to change a lot of words because it's a different world nowadays, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought I was down with the kids, but I'm obviously not because I'm far too old.
I like it when you hear something and you go, yeah, if that was 30 years ago, that would have been a number one. You know what I mean? There's some great, especially Paul. Just, look, he reminds me of Johnny Cash and a little bit of Elvis in there on the down, on his down notes.
Yeah.
He just, the first time I heard him, I just assumed he was world famous. I couldn't understand how he wasn't. something he's never played on live anywhere before. I was astounded.
Yeah.
And these people are all over. They're just going to be bold. Get up there and do it.
Absolutely.
I played a lot when I broke my hand, and I played with the guitar for still 2 years with the brace on. And the biggest shock I got was when the brace came off, I could play the guitar. I was stunned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The weight had gone off my hand, and I could play the guitar. I was so, so chuffed. It was unbelievable.
So you aren't actually trained in playing the guitar?
No, I don't think any of us are. I think if you take lessons, you're set in a certain way, and you're set in the way of the person who's teaching you.
Yeah.
This is why I like to put songs out there and other people put. I have a certain way of playing mine, like a bluesy or a country or whatever I feel. But when other people do them and do them different, you realise, you know, that they're doing it a better way. But usually they're more talented than me and more knowledgeable, certainly on the guitar.
What would you say your music is then? What sort of genre do you fit into?
I like being storyteller. I think that's it. I can't really. I've had Jez Davis has recorded one of my songs as a blues one. Antonia Zaregbi, she's recorded mine as a blues one, which I didn't write as a blues one. I don't know. I just write stories. I wrote one about because I'm on giving gigs and sites like this. You play in America and you play live to America. And I wrote one about this. I don't know whether it's a true story, Joe, or it's a fantasy or something I read when I was a kid. But there was some American Marines went to blow up some guns in the Pacific. The war was just ending. And they went to blow these guns up, and I think it's 12 of them went. They got there, and the explosive, they had words enough to blow the guns up. And they went back, and nobody noticed this guy missing. And the guy was there at the talk and the time they were going to blow the guns up, and nobody noticed the poor guy. So he was on the island knowing what time he would die. You know, he knew, which is a nightmare, he knew exactly what time, at 12 o'clock noon, they were going to blow the island up. And it came to me one day, and I tried to get in his head, family-wise, you know, what he was thinking at that time, because it must have been horrific. Yeah. If it's a true story, like I say, could have been a fiction, work of fiction. But the way it came out, and the Americans went crazy about it. Some said they'd heard the story, some said it was a little bit different, and it was like, you know, it's just something that comes out of your head.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I would absolutely love to talk to you more, but we have to hear one of your other songs. We're going to play The River of Light.
Oh, lovely. That's with Sheriff Entrepreneur, and he was an ex-drummer. He used to be on TV, I think he was Just William. And Ants does covers, but he doesn't do them how they were done originally. He's brilliant at it. And I sent him, I think, three. He asked for one. He said, oh, can I do that song? And then I sent him three. Mm-hmm. And River of Light was one. It's about, I'm an atheist, and but you keep your options open when you get to my age. And it's the guy who passes away, who does not believe in anything, and then suddenly there's the light he's been told about, there's the river, there's the choir, there's everything's there that he's denied all his life, being an atheist. And that's what it's about. Sheriff's another one who he understands what you're writing about. There's a lot of people out there who get misconstrued what you've written. But Sheriff, he thinks on the same level as me. And the other thing with Sheriff is he's my drummer when I need him. He's a great drummer.
You say he's your drummer. You don't actually sing on this song, though, do you?
No, I've never sung it. I've got several songs I've never sung on. When you hear these guys do it, you can't do any better than they've done. I'm flattered that they've done it. So I never ever sing them, no.
Wow. I think we better listen to that then.
Lovely. Thank you, Joe.
River of Light. Thank you, Kev. You've been absolutely fascinating.
Fascinating. Good word, Joe.
It's how you are, though. I mean, You are so interesting to listen to and talk to. And
oh, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for being a guest on Sunday Lunch on Siren.
Thank you for inviting me. It's much appreciated.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.